The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. Alongside Kelly Bidlett, everybody. Who's alongside who? Are you alongside me or am I alongside you?
It's a good question.
I don't know. We're alongside.
Or if I'm alongside you, nobody's alongside me then.
Nobody dares be on your left side. Good morning to you all. What's up, party people? Good show today. Mark Borchert on baseball. Jake Hahn on the NHL playoffs. The second round of which began last night in Toronto with the Leafs. Leafs holding on for victory. We'll talk to Jake about that in the games tonight and beyond. Drew Dinsick, who now joins us hour number two instead of hour number one on the show these days. He will talk NBA playoffs with us, of course, as well as anything he has in tennis as they begin in Rome now, the final clay court tournament before the French Open. Drew will join us. What an NBA night. We will get to this momentarily. Paul Carr on the Champions League. A little midweek soccer action with Paul Carr coming up as well. We must begin, Kelly, with the National Basketball Association. And I just want to say I am glad that at the end of the show yesterday, I stopped it down and said I was uncomfortable with the one-way favorite traffic that we got yesterday on the show. Because, oh my God, the conference semifinals, three straight games now to begin, starting with Indiana 2 days ago. But then last night with both the Knicks and the Nuggets, all three dogs not only cover, but all three dogs win game ones outright. Unbelievable. And we have to start. Let's start with the second one last night, Kelly, where the Nuggets beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 121 to 119 in a game where they hadn't had the lead prior to that final score. Since it was 24-22, that was the previous time they had the lead in this game. If you missed it, if you were trapped under a heavy object, let me just give you the real brief cliff notes on this. Denver led by 8 in the first quarter. That was erased really quickly. OKC would lead after the first quarter by a point. Then the Thunder would lead by as many as 14 during the second quarter. They ended up with a 10-point margin of the 10-point margin going into the locker room, 60-50 did OKC. Then Denver, it was kind of this back and forth thing. Denver got within 7 in the third quarter. OKC would push it back up to 14, 82-68. Then Denver would knock it down to 5 with 3:29 left in the period, and that would be the margin heading into the final quarter, 90-85 Thunder. But then OKC would kick it back up to a double-digit lead. Remember, the spread here in this game got all the way up to 10.5. It wasn't that 24 hours ago, but it did tick up to 10.5. So it was 113-102 Oklahoma City with 4:31 left in the game. And Kelly, by the line, that's when the shenanigans began.
Yeah.
Denver goes on a 12-2 run to cut it to 115-114. Jokic, the greatest player on earth, hits a three from the top of the key to cut it to 115-114. Then Denver gets the ball with a chance to take the lead with 46 seconds left, but a missed Westbrook three try, then a Gordon miss. Caruso gets the board. SGA fouled with 14 seconds left. He hits both free throws. OKC up 117-114. And here, ladies and gentlemen, is where the coaching malpractice began for Mark Daigneault. Jokic, now keep in mind here, 14 seconds left, OKC up 117-114. OKC always employs the foul when up three strategy. I have read numerous articles this morning. I watched Inside the NBA last night. It is amazing how many people do not get what the problem was. These articles say, fouling up three backfired on him. No, it's not that simple. That's not what happened. Charles Barkley still doesn't get it, what went down. I'll tell you who did get it in the end. Kenny Smith got it, and the play-by-play announcer, Ian Eagle, did a great job during the broadcast. He got this. The problem was that OKC tactically messed up the thing by fouling too soon twice in a row.
Yeah.
So 14 seconds left. OKC's up 117-114. Jokic is immediately fouled. And when I say immediately, I mean with 12.9 seconds left. He's immediately fouled. He hits two free throws. It's 117-116. So, of course, not of course, but SGA breaks free to the hoop. immediately, 119, 116, literally like within a second, he breaks free to the hoop. So it's a three-point game again. So Denver, same situation. They're down three. OKC wants to do the foul up three thing, but they foul Gordon in the backcourt with 10.7 seconds left. Literally, barely any time is going off the clock here. Gordon hits both free throws. It's 119 to 118. Holmgren then fouled with 9.8 left because Denver's got to get the ball back. And Holmgren misses not one, but two free throws. Brown with the rebound. He pushes it up to Gordon from three. Good with 2.8 seconds left. Desperation heave by OKC. Nowhere near it. Nuggets steal it in Oklahoma City, 121-119. And I just, again, it is amazing to me, Kelly, that you watch inside the NBA after this, just to use Barkley as one example. And Barkley's whole thing is, well, I mean, if he makes both free throws, if Holmgren makes both free throws, it's not, this, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. No. If you keep fouling so quickly, and when I say so quickly, with one, like 1 second or one and change, 1 second and change, on consecutive possessions, what you are in essence doing is creating more tests for yourself to have to continue to hit two free throws.
Right.
Eventually, now I know Holmgren missed both, but eventually you're going to miss one. Holmgren happened to miss two.
Which equates and means more opportunity for the other team.
And the game still has enough time left in it for them to advance the ball. If you just take off a few seconds each time, and let's say then he misses the two free throws, it's probably a desperation heave by Denver also. They just completely botched the way they did it. And the fact that you read articles and articles this morning, oh, the big fouling up three backfired on him. No, it's how they did it.
I think the thing for me, actually, that was one of the first times last night where I was very much... Because you and I are pretty pro foul when you're up three, right?
Absolutely.
Last night was the first time where I was like, hey, time score situation, right? We talk about this all the time. Time score situation and when to employ that. The first foul, while it was quick, I was okay with, Gil. I was like, okay, we're going to go to foul up three. That was really quick, but you know what? Jokic was very aware about what was about to go on. He was going to try to get a shot up anyways. All right, fine. But then Jokic is on the bench. And you foul Aaron Gordon in the backcourt like you're talking about. And I was very much like, okay, just let this play out. Let this play out. You're up three. There's 10 seconds left on the clock. They got to take it the length of the court. They got no timeouts. I was okay with letting it play out at that point. I was shocked they went and fouled him that quickly. To your point, even if you wanted to still foul, you could have run four more seconds off the
clock,
letting him get up.
Even if you wanted to still foul.
At that point, I was for them letting it go.
Well, I wasn't, but I understand your point, but I wasn't. But I still believe you let a few seconds run off, and then you felt like you always do. I'll tell you who else, and I was ready to give him Coach of the Year if they won 70 games. I'll tell you who took a while to get it after the game last night. The initial questions to Mark Daigneault after that game, you know, would you have it back? Would you do it? Well, and then finally, after like a paragraph, he finally conceded, maybe we did it too quickly. I was like, boy, that took a while for you to get there.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, especially
God.
When that was involving veteran players, too. I was a little surprised, but I'll tell you, though, man, that was I had against the spread, you know, first half, full game, first half gets there, full game. You're watching it, let it slip away. Right. And I think when we talk about both these losses from these teams, I think there is one thing they had in common that I want to bring up later. But you're watching that slip away, and it's going through my mind, Gil, all right, well, I'm going to lose this ATS bet. But, like, there was, for the second time in 9 days, Aaron Gordon just to the side of my head with a 2x4 out of nowhere. Because at no point did I think they were going to lose that game until that happened.
That and, of course, the dunk. Did he have his fingertips off it against the Clippers?
Second time, man. I was like, wow, that really just happened. I was sitting there stunned after the game.
Jokic, the greatest player on earth, 42-22-6 in this game.
So,
still got his fastball, you think?
Yeah.
42-22-6. Gordon, the aforementioned Aaron Gordon, 22-14, including the game winner. Murray, 21. Westbrook, 18. SGA, 33-10-8 in defeat. The Nuggets committed 18 turnovers in this game to OKC's 9, but a 63-43 rebounding advantage helped to offset that a bit.
Ding, ding, ding. I mean, Gil,
I hate myself because I mentioned on the show Nuggets, you know, 5-1. That seemed too high. Did I pull the trigger on it? I did not. But you know what I did this morning? I did. Nuggets up a game. I took them at plus. Let me get the number right. Plus 267. I took them up a game. By the way, I also took a adjusted series price in another series, which we'll get to after the break. But I took the Nuggets plus 267. I just, you know, the cliche of Rudy Tomjanovich. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. Look, I think this is going to be a long series. I don't think anybody's blowing anybody out here. But I just think you give me plus money on the Nuggets. And this is what we said yesterday, though. The advice that Carl gave was sound, right? Hey, if you like the dogs, maybe you wait a game. But I kept saying after every time, I'm like, or the train leaves the station.
Yeah. No, you were dead right on that.
And the train has kind of left the station on all three of these, but not exactly. Not exactly. And so I still think, like, I'm not going to let it leave anymore. Let's put it that way. So I grabbed Denver in this one, and I'll mention the other one. Well, I'll say right now. I grabbed Indiana. Indiana plays tonight. I grabbed Indiana plus the points tonight against the Cavs in game two. I grabbed them for the series. The adjusted series price on the Pacers at plus 191, them up a game as well. The Pacers, I mean, this is the deal with this series. Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter, both questionable for the Cavs tonight. Mobley with the ankle injury. Hunter dislocated his right thumb, both considered questionable. And Darius Garland still remains questionable, right? Risk of missing a four straight game with a toe injury.
And we learned yesterday that Atkinson considers questionable and doubtful the same thing. Yes. So I have no idea what this means tonight, Gil.
How is this still 9 tonight? Listen, I get how it's still because Cleveland's the number one seed, but this is, again, if you pull yourself away from regular season too close to the sun, how's this 9? Coming back, the Knicks and the Celtics next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to a whole nother level. With First Bet, whether it's Santa Anita Gulfstream Park or the road to the Triple Crown, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. We get tweets. Beating the book, always appreciate it. This is from Matthew Mayberry checking in again. He goes, I have the A's first to 10 wins in May at 80-1 and the Tigers 12-1 for May. I literally cannot find one site that tracks monthly standings. It's driving me nuts. So thank you for the updates. Yeah, StatMuse, RotoWire, those are the two. Although they both require, I believe, a little finagling to get there.
Oh, okay.
So it's not super simple. But again, we'll have them here on a numbers game. If not daily, we'll have them, at least weekly. That's for sure. And then we'll get closer to daily as the month nears its end. Jim Campbell, with the Celtics up 20 and New York having Cat, Bridges, and Hart in foul trouble, why was their strategy not to drive the ball to the hoop? I'm saying, man, they will get an uncontested shot or they get the New York starters to foul out. Seems to make more sense than chucking up threes. Absolutely.
I mean, that's always like, it's the lasting criticism of Tatum and Brown, right? That's got to be part of the game. You got to be able to drive it to the rim, create contact. Yeah. I mean, just again, par is good enough to win. Stop launching three after three and clank, clank, clank.
Brutal. Missoula deserves a lot of criticism, and some people don't seem to want to give it to him.
The problem is I don't really expect anything to change because they won a championship last year.
What are they going
to
do?
And what are they going to do? That's all they know how to play.
That's all they know how to play.
Yeah.
Mike Rouse, can we get Mark's insight, Mark Borchard, into the prison cell windows he has in the background? Oh, I missed that. Did he have prison cell windows in the background? Borchard? I missed that.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't catch that either.
The numbers guys. Gilly, where's them tennis picks? I didn't have any. I thought I was, but they played about, 10 to 15 matches. It was like 10 matches, non-qualies today in Rome, and I didn't like any of them from a betting perspective. So it's a full bore schedule of tennis beginning tomorrow, which means I will have tennis picks in the overnight tonight. Jack Olequire. Gil, I'm with you on the Padres for May, but definitely passing on the hometown White Sox. Good luck to Mark Borchard with the White Sox tonight. Don't think I can go there either. Eric Biggio from Will Hill Caesars. Rooting hard for Mark's Rockies and White Sox today from his book's perspective. Those teams are always on our needs behind the counter. Just add the Marlins next time and we could have a trash team three-teamer.
That's great.
You know what Eric told us yesterday, me and Fezzik, he told us? that the Padres may most wins. And I did not bet at William Hill Caesars. I bet at Circa. But he said at William Hill Caesars, because of everybody who tailed on that bet, they are in for six figures if the Padres win most May.
Wins. Wow. Okay. All right.
They're stuck for six figures. So how about that?
Sorry, Caesars.
Numbers game. Just following suit. Let's go. Let's get it done. Not that we, you know, wish the worst on you, Eric, but just think that's an interesting stat. Let's talk some hockey. Jake Hahn joins us now, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at jhahn4. That's the number 4, J-H-A-H-N 4, co-host of The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL. How you doing, Jake?
Doing great, guys. I should have worn my Padres hat for the occasion. Sometimes I do. I've been heavy on the Padres this year. I was on them last night, too. Great comeback against the New York Yankees, which as a Jays fan, I appreciate as well, even though I realistically know the Jays aren't going to catch the Yankees at any point. I still love seeing the Yankees lose in that rain-soaked game last night, guys. So loving all the baseball, the basketball last night as well. I know I'm here to talk some hockey. But second round, I got a little bit more time to maybe get in to some of these other sports, right? It winds down a little bit in hockey. So love those two NBA games last night as well.
Well, hockey finally let basketball have one night where they took the shine with the most incredible games.
Right.
The second round of the NHL playoffs did begin yesterday. The Leafs hold on, and I do mean hold on, against the Florida Panthers. They win it 5-4. The Toronto netminder Anthony Stolarz left the game after an elbow to the head from Florida's Sam Bennett that was not called, by the way. He was replaced by Joseph Woll. Uncalled elbow to the head at 7:20 of the second period that occurred toward the end of a Florida power play. Toronto was up 3-1 at the time on two goals by William Nylander and one by Morgan Riley. By the way, Toronto scored 33 seconds and Nylander scored 33 seconds into this game. It ended up being 4-1 Toronto. Woll was in the game now in net, and they held on 5-4. Matthew Nyes with a score with 6 minutes left for Toronto kept Florida at bay. My question to you, Jake, is Toronto's got the series lead. Felica actually texted this while this was going on last night, and I looked at Woll's stats. Woll's stats in goal are not really that bad, but man, did he look in over his head last night, didn't he?
Really tough spot for him to come in that game, Gil. And I thought if you really break it down, I mean, the numbers, okay, 3 goals on 20 shots, not the greatest. But I thought Florida played their best hockey of that game when Woll was in net, because the Leafs had a big lead. Teams tend to sit back, especially when you get up to a 3-goal lead the way that the Leafs had. So you go into a bit of a defensive shell. And I thought for the first 40 minutes of that game, shockingly, Florida was very sleepy. Not to take anything away from what the Leafs were doing well. They kind of jumped them early. But I just thought, man, this doesn't look like the Panthers team that I'm used to watching, that I just watched beat Tampa Bay in 5 games. And they woke up in the third period. They were all over the Maple Leafs. And like I said, the Leafs kind of went into that defensive shell that teams tend to do with a big lead. So I thought Woll had to face the better version of the Panthers than Stolarz did before he went down. And I think the Leafs trust Joe Woll to win games. He's played playoff games for them in the past. There was a moment in this season, Gil, where I thought Joe Woll was going to be the starter game one of the postseason. And then Stolarz was just so good down the stretch. It really gave them no choice but to go with Anthony Stolarz. So being able to have a full warm-up and knowing that you're going to start, I would totally trust Joe Woll to win games for the Maple Leafs, but ultimately they're waiting and praying that Anthony Stolarz is healthy, because he has just been so good for them the last few months.
Yeah, ended up staying on the ice, then he vomited, you know, and then so he had to leave the game.
Crazy.
So let's go through these one by one. So the adjusted series price on the Panthers Maple Leafs, with the Leafs up 1-0. The Leafs now a slight favorite, -125. The Panthers +105. Is there a bet here?
I think I would need a little bit more to get behind the Panthers. The +105, though, except because I've seen some different numbers floating around there. Anything plus money with the Panthers, I think I get a little bit more interested. I saw some, you know, -110s on both sides. So that +105 number you guys are showing right there is a pretty nice price. On a Florida Panthers team, we know their pedigree. We know that they can certainly get back in this series. And I don't think home road matters as much in this one. Gil, you go back to the series these two teams played a couple of years ago. I think Florida had their most success in Toronto, and Toronto actually had their most success in Florida. So compared to maybe some other series that we're going to look at, I don't think home road matters as much here. I'm not backing the Florida Panthers at +105, but I certainly think they're going to have their moments in this series.
All right, two game ones tonight in the NHL. Caps, Hurricanes. Hurricanes without home ice, a -160 favorite in the series. Caps +140 on the comeback. We're in Washington tonight for game one. Golden Knights and Oilers. This is one of these rare sort of betting things where The Oilers are the -115 series favorites, but the Knights will be a tick of a favorite in four of these games if it extended to seven. They've got the home ice, but if you do the whole math of the aggregate, the Oilers are the slight series favorite. Do you have a play in either of the series for either of those two series prices for either of those two series or in game ones?
I do, and I don't think I've ever seen anything like this where we have four second-round series, Gil, and at least starting. Now, the Leafs are the favorites after the win last night, but before the series started, all four teams with home ice advantage are the underdogs in their series. It was just crazy, and honestly, some of them don't make a ton of sense to me. I believe Vegas should be favored. Now, in some places they are. It's, you know, kind of hovering around that pick 'em range. You guys are showing minus 105 there. I think that's a really nice price on Vegas for the series. Edmonton showed so many flaws in that first round against the LA Kings. I thought LA just kind of choked it away, for lack of a better term. Games 3 and 4, they should have won both of those. They let Edmonton off the mat, and you can't give a dangerous team like the Oilers a second life. I don't think Vegas is going to do that. They're more defensively sound. I think they have the better goaltender in Adin Hill. So I like Vegas, and I really like that price for the Washington Capitals as well. This is going to be your ultimate, you know, analytics versus eye test community type series, where the analytics point to Carolina. But Carolina, each playoffs, they tend to get into this funk where they struggle finishing on chances. They're fine generating those chances. I think that's what you could see throughout courses of this series. And I just think that's a great number on a Capitals team that's, to me, been way more consistent than Carolina all season long.
Caps on the series at plus 140. Anything on the game ones tonight on the specific games or no?
I am going to play the Capitals. I'm seeing them hovering between plus 115. Maybe you could shop and find a plus 120 out there. I think that's a really good price on the Capitals in game one. This is just a team I think I'm going to be playing all series if they're going to give these prices out. Obviously, they're not going to sweep Carolina. I doubt they will, but I like this play for game one. Lean towards the over in the late game, guys, but we have seen some movement. I was over six, about minus 120 last night. Now it's flown up to over 6.5 at about minus 115 in that range. So people have the same idea. They're betting goals in Vegas Edmonton, which I can't fault them for doing. I think that's probably going to be your highest scoring series of the second round.
Yeah, 6.5 is the total in that game one tonight at T-Mobile Arena. By the way, real quick, 10 seconds or less, tomorrow night, Dallas and Winnipeg start with Dallas as a minus 160 series favorite. Do you have a series play there?
I like the Jets at that price, guys. I think a lot of people are going to be loving on Dallas after beating Colorado, but Winnipeg, the whiteout, home ice advantage, I think matters the most in this series of all four that we just talked about.
Winnipeg plus 135, the President's Trophy winners. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it, man.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved, no usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beatty the Book.
Slashed.
JC at JC562076 says, go Dubs, that is all. I'm with you, JC. Go Dubs. Most beautiful thing in basketball.
It was well said by Drew. We brought it up yesterday. The price just a little off for me. If anything, I'd be on the Warriors, too.
Warriors trying to make it a full set of four of underdogs that went outright in game ones of the conference semi.
God, and they're the one that we would have said had the best chance, too.
Jamie Leva, slashing weight and prices. Kelly Bidlin. He says, excellent to Ernest Johnson impersonation, Gil. Looking good, gentlemen. Have a fantastic day. Thank you, Jamie.
To Ernest Johnson. That was the best part of primetime action, man.
Oh, guessing lines, you know, or primetime action? Yeah. Just random Dernis Johnson.
But remember when we discovered him? And it was like, who's this guy? Who's this running back? And then boom.
I was throwing from our Atlanta studios. Chance Copperpot. I can't spell podiatrist, but I know when the Nuggets are down in the fourth quarter and I take a live flyer at 13-1 with $50. I'm winning $650. Hashtag can't spell, he says.
Nice.
Well, actually, you spelled podiatrist right. Ladies and gentlemen, last night on Inside the NBA, Paul Carr standing by for Champions League picks. So,
I'm also nervous now because he's a regional spelling bee champion, apparently.
Paul Carr is?
Yeah, regional. I might have just made that
up. Let's bring Paul in. Paul Carr, ladies and gentlemen, from Topeka, Kansas. True Media Networks is where he does his thing on a daily basis, the Expected Value Podcast, and, of course, the Ringers Soccer Betting Show. Joins us now at Paul Carr, by the way, on Twitter, C-A-R-R, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Paul, were you a regional spelling bee champion? Is that true?
Fourth place regional.
Fourth,
as far
fourth
as I got.
Place regional, Kelly. Come on.
Fourth place. Get a trophy for
popped
that?
Out right there. I did not. Didn't even get a ribbon. Had to get third for a ribbon.
You should have just said second place. We would not have known the difference. So last night on Inside the NBA, after Barkley was just embarrassing about the Dagnall end of game coaching,
all Chet had to do was make the two free throws. We'd have been fine.
They did a spelling bee, and they gave three words: podiatrist, plethora, and peripheral. And Shaq went 0 for 3, even though he tried to cheat off of Ernie's page. But Ernie knew it was happening, so he wrote them incorrectly.
I believe Shaq does that often.
Yeah, they even caught him, like, looking over. Charles went 1 for 2, and Kenny won it going 2 for 3. He went 2 and 1. So, Kelly, now, you get it. And yeah, the first word was podiatrist. Kelly spelt it P-E-D-I-A-T-R-I-S-T.
P-O?
P-O-D.
Man.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Florida State University.
FSU.
How'd I do in the other two? Plethora I got, right?
You were correct on the others. Plethora, P-L-E-T-H-O-R-A, and peripheral, which was the hardest one, P-E-R-I-P-H-E-R-A-L. Way to go. 2 for 3.
There you go.
You and Kenny Smith would have a word off.
I mean, I'm an English major who worked at a newspaper. It's a little concerning. I can't spell podiatrist.
It's more than a little concerning. It's a lot concerning. Paul, how you doing, man? Before we get to your Champions League plays for today and explain the second leg and all that, let's go back to some stuff you had. You had a goal scorer at +250, and it took 4 minutes to cash, right, the other day?
It's very nice. Ousmane Dembele for PSG, fourth-minute goal through traffic, and rest easy the rest of the game. That's about as easy as it gets.
And Barcelona-Inter Milan, 3-3? Was that the final score in that game? That was a classic.
It was. It was a wild one. I had Barcelona minus a goal and a half, and they were down 2-0. And I honestly didn't feel terrible about it, given that, they tied it up. Inter took the lead. Barcelona tied it up again with about 25 minutes left, I think. Ugh. So it was still very much in play.
Yeah.
But they had a couple chances they didn't finish. And yeah, I don't think either team's really happy with a 3-3 result going back to Milan.
That's interesting. Well, that's a portent of things to come here as Paul gives his pick. So explain now. This is the second leg of the semifinals. And for the uninitiated, explain, if you would, why this becomes a little bit multi-layered.
Yep. Two legs, aggregate scored, which is a fancy way of saying total score across the two legs is what gets you through. So the thing to be aware of from a betting standpoint, as I always say, everyone's made this mistake. I've made this mistake. What 99% of your bets here are for regulation, so for the 90 minutes and the injury time at the end. So if you bet, say, Barcelona to win the game, if it's tied after 90 minutes and they win an extra time, your bet probably won't cash. There are separate markets for to advance or to qualify, which are different things. That's just which team goes to the next round, regardless of its regulation, extra time, penalty kicks. So as always, just be wary of what you're betting and know what you're betting, really, from a rooting interest standpoint.
Also, thank you for using wary correctly, Kelly. Wary, cautious of, as opposed to weary, where people say, be weary of, yes. Be tired of.
Sure, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Wary. English major, Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
W-A-R-Y.
That's right. He was not sure.
He was not sure.
Okay, so let's keep that in mind. Let's go to your picks. So the first pick here from you then, this is going to be which? Let's go to Barcelona Inter Milan now. So what are the implications here as we head into this game?
Yeah, so I am taking a 90-minute bet of Barcelona to win this game. I play this at 125. It has shifted the other way. It's +150 now a lot of places because there's some injury news that has come out. Lautaro Martinez, Inter's striker, looks like he's going to play. That was a little more doubtful yesterday. And Barcelona's fullbacks may both be out of this game. Personally, I don't think that, I mean, it matters, obviously, but I don't think it's a big deal from a handicapping standpoint because the Barcelona defense was pretty suspect anyway, and Inter's attack was decent against that. So it's something, don't get me wrong, but really this is about Barcelona's attack, which is the best in the world. I don't think the Inter defense can hold up for 90 minutes. It wasn't really able to last game, gave up 3 goals, obviously. They did okay. You know, Barcelona didn't have tons of great opportunities, but they had a lot of them. They had 19 shots. And even though a lot of them weren't great, when you give good players like Barcelona has an attack, 19 shots, they're likely to break through one way or the other. Barcelona may have Robert Lewandowski back for this game, so I don't think he will start, but he's a guy they could throw on the last 20 minutes when they're trying to get a win in regulation. So I like Barcelona to win this one in regulation Again, I played it at +125, but you should be able to get +150-ish right now.
So this was the 3-3 match in the first leg. Now Paul's on Barcelona +125, and it's not that the market has scoffed at you, it's that there's injuries. That's why it's moved.
I think so, yeah, because I had that play last night, and the injury news came out this morning in Europe. So I think that's it, because Martinez likely wasn't going to play. The fullbacks were, I don't think their injury situation was quite, I think it was more severe than expected. So yeah, I think that's what made the numbers change this morning.
I'm tailing you again on this one, Paul. This is like an anger bet against Inter Milan. Gil, if you'd watched that game last week.
Spite
like,
bet.
It's like when we talk about the 3-point differentials, right? Like when you get like 3 ridiculous, incredible goals that like you could never recreate. I'll be right back. On
Barcelona. It's another good point. Like everything went right for Inter in that game, and all they got was a draw. You know, they got a early goal on a counterattack with a great finish, you know, tough to replicate. They scored twice on set pieces. And while those are also Barcelona's defensive weaknesses, set pieces in transition, they're just tough things that you're going to be able to count on. So, you know, Barcelona puts up a couple here, 2, maybe 3. I'm not sure Inter can get 2, maybe 3 goals themselves.
Spite bets always work out, Kelly. You should be fine.
100%.
Yeah, what could go
wrong? Yeah, you should be good. Yeah. PSG Arsenal. First leg, if I'm not mistaken, PSG won 1-0, yes, in London?
Correct.
All right. Correct, yes. So how are we doing this one?
So I'm going under in this one. Under 2.5 +125. This was, you know, it was kind of a tight, cagey, your stereotypical first leg. I'm not sure the second leg will be much different because Arsenal needs to score, obviously. They're down a goal. Arsenal hasn't been very good at scoring all season. And they have Bakary Saka back and Odegaard's back in the midfield. It's a little bit better, but PSG defended them fairly well. Didn't give up a ton of opportunities. I mean, Arsenal had one shot in the first half hour or so before they kind of got alive, but PSG really just clogged the middle well, and Arsenal wasn't able to generate a lot. And I'm not sure this game will be a lot different. They might scratch out a goal. You know, it could have been 1-0 Arsenal in that first leg without too much trouble. But either way, you know, 1-0 either way, obviously gets us home a couple of goals. So this is another one where it could go to extra time. If Arsenal wins 1-0 and goes to extra time, you're winning your bet regardless if teams hang 2-3 goals in extra time. So under 2.5 +125. If you want to get really crazy, you could go under 1.5 like +350. But under 2.5, 125, my play.
And these are both today, Paul?
The Arsenal PSG game is tomorrow.
Arsenal PSG tomorrow, right? So Barcelona, yeah, Inter Milan today. Say again.
One game at a time for the semis. Watch them both.
One game tonight, today, Barcelona, Inter Milan, PSG, Arsenal tomorrow. Are you following the NHL or the NBA playoffs at all, Paul? Do you follow that at all?
Very casually. I don't think I'd watched an NBA game all season until the playoffs. But yeah, now it's going to throw it on and see what happened. And so last night I stopped watching the Celtics game, and they were up like, 20 in the third quarter?
Yeah.
And I came back with like a minute left and was very confused about what was going on. I thought the score bug was messed up, that kind of thing.
The Celtics were very confused about what was going on as well.
Yeah.
They just kept heaving balls from behind the arc.
And there has been score bug issues. So, yeah. Fair question.
Maybe shoot the ball closer to the basket. I don't know.
It's very, very intricate advice. I'm just saying, like anybody who doesn't like sports, like imagine not liking sports. The drama of the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs it's just been incredible. I don't know. I don't trust a guy who doesn't like sports or music. Like, what have you been doing with your life?
I don't watch a lot of regular season of either, but I show up for the playoffs because that's when it gets fun.
That is acceptable.
Barcelona +146. I'm in.
He's in.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Spite bet. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. We'll come back. We'll recap everything next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get the GBank Visa signature card today because GBank is the official bank of VSiN with all of our best bets recap. Kelly, shall we do it?
Let's do it. Look at you firing today, man.
This is probably my most firing of a non-tennis nature on any given day.
I was going to say outside of football season, but yeah, good point.
Yeah, maybe that. Padres, again, tonight, money line for the full game and the first 5 money line against the Yankees. -105 on the full game, -119. Michael King on the hill for the Fathers as the Padres look to go 5-0 in the month of May. If they win this, they are already ahead of my projection And I got them winning the month.
Nice.
So,
there you go.
So Padres first five in full game. Mariners Athletics, I did this yesterday too, over first five and full game. Once again, the pitching matchup in that one. Emerson Hancock. Who could forget Emerson Hancock? What's your favorite Emerson Hancock outing?
Oh, Kelly? Man. A couple weeks ago.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Versus Jeffrey Springs. They're both fly ball pitchers. And I don't know if you know this. Sacktown, that ballpark with the fake Machu Picchu out there in the outfield and the fake bridge looking thing. That is Sutter Health ballpark. It is just an absolute fly ball pitcher's nightmare. And so we're going over again, 5.5. First five, over 9.5 for the full game. And then in basketball, in the National Basketball Association, I'm taking the Pacers plus the points tonight against the Cavs, who again is Darius Garland playing? Nobody knows. Is Evan Mobley playing? Nobody knows. Is DeAndre Hunter playing? Nobody knows. They're all questionable.
Did get a note come down about 10 minutes ago. Mobley, Garland, Hunter, all not seen at shoot-around.
Oh, boy. Pacers plus 9.
And that number has adjusted. We're down to 8.
Already one point less than when we began this show. And I'm on the Pacers plus 191 on the series price, the adjusted series price, up 1-0 in that series. I also did take the Nuggets up 1-0 in that series against the Thunder at plus 267. Did not take the Knicks because I just think Tibbs is just the two guys log too many minutes, man.
Yeah.
Too many minutes.
And they'll the Celtics had to screw up last night. The Knicks will blow a game too. Like we know that. A game as well. I'm not gonna say necessarily game two, but a game as well. I'm backing on the Celtics. Look, it is the numbers game that they like to play, put up a bunch of threes. You're going to have some nights like you did last night where, I guess you set NBA records missing as many as you did.
45 missed threes.
It's incredible, man.
15 of 60.
It's incredible. You hope when you see a performance like that, though, they learn at least a little bit, Gil. I don't know that they will, but anyways, 9.5, wanted to get in on that. I know it would run out here a little bit. We're at 10.5 now.
Paul Carr's best, by the way, that you just heard. Barcelona, if you pronounce it in the Castellano. Barcelona win plus 125 at Inter Milan. You can get it at plus 150, he said, because some injuries have altered this line. And then the PSG-Arsenal game tomorrow in the Champions League semifinals, second leg, under 2.5 goals. PSG and Arsenal at plus 125, under 2.5 goals. J-Bank, the official bank of Visa.
Oh, we got a couple more.
Oh, we do. Oh, I'm sorry. Mark Borchardt. We did them out of order.
Yeah.
That's why. Oh, my bad. Mark Borchardt. I'm a robot. I just do it chronologically. Mark Borchardt, best bets. Phillies Braves money line parlay plus 171 is parlay of the day. And then you are not required to watch these, but Mark Borchardt has gone run line plus 1.5 runs on both the White Sox and the Rockies today. Oh, boy. That is living. And then finally from...
We got Dinsick and Jake Hahn.
Dinsick and Jake Hahn. Drew Dinsick, he's on Carolina Muhova, 18-1 to win the WTA side of things in Rome, the final tournament before the French Open at Roland Garros. You know, they officially call it Roland Garros now. It's not the French Open. We call it the French Open.
Really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Actually, you know what? I think I saw something like that the other day and I was confused.
I think Charles might have mentioned it on Inside the NBA. And Timberwolves... Drew is laying the points. Drew is unabated in terms of his love for all the favorites, plus on the series price as well. He's on the T-Wolves tonight, minus the 6.5 against the dub show of Steph Curry, Draymond, and company. Jake Hahn, best bets. Caps tonight, game one. Caps plus 120. Let's go. Rock the red, baby, in D.C. Oilers, Golden Knights, over 6.5 here at T-Mobile. Wow. I mean, we were talking with Wes yesterday about how you can't bet these overs in game sevens, but man, 6.5 on this game, and everybody expects it to go over tonight here between the Oilers and the Knights.
You know, we talked to Jake about this during the regular season. Man, I would still feel this way when I see some of these final scores of just like, if I was betting it over, I'd be sprinkling some alts too. Like how often do we see 9 goal games, 10 goal games, 11 goal games? It's wild.
The Stanley Cup playoffs has been unbelievable. That was the first great night of the NBA. Not the first great night, but the really best night so far. But hockey's just left and right. These games have been incredible. Get the G-Bank Visa signature card today. All of our best bets brought to you by G-Bank, the official bank of Visa. And most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances. That's even when you put your own money on the card. G-Bank treats gaming transactions as purchases, so you're saving up to 3-5% on cash advance fees on gaming transactions right there. Also, with G-Bank, you're earning 1% cashback rewards on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all eligible purchases. Apply now at VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSiN.com/G-Bank. Stormy and JBT coming up at the top of the hour with Money Moves. I'm sure JBT will have a lot to say about the NBA playoffs. Stormy doing double duty. She's doing the Knights game tonight as well.
Oh, she back on that?
Oh, yeah. Stormy is big time, man.
I screwed up the other day when I saw her on doing the Knights game. I was like, oh, that's cool. She's right down the road doing it. I didn't realize it was in Minnesota.
She had to do it. So I'm curious what JVT's going to have to say about these games. But we started the show, in case you missed it. I cannot believe what we witnessed at the end of that Thunder game last night. You mentioned something interesting off air, which is, you know, all these, the national shows like ESPN, leading with the Knicks and the Celtics as like the bigger story. I'm like, well, it's such an East Coast bias. It's like, yeah, that was amazing too. Don't get me wrong. The Knicks winning game one against the Celtics, erasing the 20-point deficit was amazing. But the malpractice at the end of the Thunder game, where again, the problem was not that they fouled up three, which so many articles and so many people are saying this morning, that's not the problem. The problem is how they did it. And once again, Jokic immediately fouled with a Thunder up three. Jokic immediately, so they go up three on two SGA free throws with 14 seconds left. Jokic fouled with 12.9 left. He hits two free throws. SGA then breaks free to the hoop. They're back up three. Then Gordon fouled with 10.7 left. That's not how you do it. Once again, he hits both free throws. Then Holmgren inevitably misses not just one, but two. Gordon three, good. Ball game. Desperation, no good. Nuggets steal it. After being down by, 113-102 with 4:31 left.
Jeez.
Then a 12-2 run, cut it to 115-114, and that's when we had those late game shenanigans. But again, it's not that they fouled up three, it's how they did it. They did not let enough time elapse, and as a result, what you're doing is creating too many more opportunities for yourself to miss a free throw. Because as the longer the game goes, but you have to extend it 3 or 4 seconds on each of those. And then even if you do miss, Denver's got a desperation heave to try to do something about it. But the fact that they just, no time elapsed, I mean, a couple seconds elapsed. So it allowed for, hey, the more free throws you shoot, eventually you're going to miss one. Holmgren happened to miss two. And it allowed Denver to matriculate the ball down the court and get that three from Gordon Wynn. Just an unbelievable occurrence.
Yeah. I'm stunned. I'm still stunned. I know it's been this long after the game.
You can't
shocked.
Go to sleep afterwards, as
no,
you were saying.
No, you can't. This is my problem. Every time the NBA playoffs roll around, you get great finishes like that. You're so full of adrenaline after the game, and then before you know it, you're like, oh, great, I got to be up in like 4 hours. Let me try to get some sleep here.
This is not a pleasant subject. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but like who, you mentioned Aaron Gordon earlier. What's been, is it the Nuggets that are your big... They're the ones that are killing you the most here between the Clippers and the...
So far, yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, it's no... You know me, it's not like I'm a Nuggets hater.
No.
Right? I think it's just been a bit high on Clippers and Thunder. And it's a sweat all of a sudden. I mean, I got a lot of Thunder to win the West. A lot of Thunder to win the West.
Same question I posed to Drew, I posed to you. I think the answer is probably Indiana because of all the uncertainties with Cleveland's injuries. So it's an easy answer to... Which of the big, you know, which of the favored teams pre-flop and current in these series is the most vulnerable? So I think the easy answer is Cleveland. But if I had to say who's the second most vulnerable,
sure. I think it's easy and it's OKC.
It's not the T-Wolves who haven't even taken the court yet against the Warriors.
Oh yeah, okay. Sorry, if we're including them, I thought we were talking about the teams that have already lost. But yeah, it's I'll say, it's a great question. I'll say Timberwolves. But yeah, it's Thunder before it's Celtics for me.
Thunder before Celtics.
I mean, getting out,
which is a bit of a culture shock for you.
For me, I mean, yesterday when we were talking about this, I was going to give the Knicks a game or two. Celtics, like we saw last night, that's not that huge of a shock to me. That the Celtics messed around and took too many threes
and
got dumb. We've seen it before.
We've seen it before.
And we've seen over the course of a 7-game series, guess what? Their way still works. So I think that's what's going to happen. But when the Thunder bring in Isaiah Hartenstein and try to redesign this whole front court to specifically handle problems like Nikola Jokic, and he goes for 40 and 20 on you and you get out-rebounded by 20, that's a concern. That is a concern for going forward.
I love that Hartenstein shot where he doesn't actually shoot the ball. The ball just kind of goes up with him as he jumps.
Yeah. I think another one to watch out with that is Chet, I think, could be in foul trouble this whole series. I think I'll be looking at Chet unders.
Drama, man. It only continues. The soap opera that is the NBA playoffs. Money Moves, top of the hour. Stormy Bonnetoni and the equally lovely JVT. Coming up, enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.